This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, once again, a bumper crop of news stories from around the world, and the headlines are as follows. Artifacts support theory that man came from Africa. BBC is on location at the Scottish Crannog Centre as part of a new series. Flying back in time over Stonehenge, the historic balloon flight is recreated, and a new bill would allow the study of ancient American human remains. An Iron Age village is unearthed in Ireland, and a doorstop in USA turns out to be an archaic hand axe. Prehistoric Moroccan skeleton is put on view in Germany as part of a major exhibition, while in Vietnam, a farmer uncovers a Neolithic musical instrument. China's earliest craft workshop has been discovered, and the Balaji Gorge prehistoric ovens are to be relocated in Iran. Drought uncovers prehistoric monuments in Wales, while a major excavation starts at Churchill Cave in England. New light on prehistoric Bosque County Man. And finally, a 5,000-year-old dagger is found in Bulgaria. Fragments of ostrich egg, perforated beads and finely shaped arrowheads have provided the first firm archaeological evidence for the out-of-Africa origins of the world's human population. Scientists have found stark similarities in the ancient cultural artifacts made and used by Stone Age people who migrated out of Africa and into Asia more than 50,000 years ago. It is the first time that archaeologists have been able to link African and Indian artifacts so closely together, even though they were discovered 3,000 miles apart, suggesting they were made by the same people, albeit of different generations. Until now, the out-of-Africa hypothesis has relied almost entirely on the analysis of human skeletal remains or on DNA studies. But a comparative study of Stone Age artifacts found in Africa and India, carried out by Professor Paul Mellors, a Cambridge University archaeologist, has revealed remarkable cultural and technological similarities that suggest a common origin. It is thought that anatomically modern humans crossed over from Africa to Asia by boat around 55,000 years ago, probably via the Bab el-Mandeb Straits at the southern end of the Red Sea. The comparative study suggests a strong degree of cultural continuity during the presumably long human migration from Africa to Asia. The finds, which were discovered by various archaeologists over many years, come from southern and east Africa and from India and Sri Lanka. However, it is the Cambridge University study which has for the first time demonstrated the similarities between the African and Asian material. Most of the African finds date from between 70 to 50,000 years ago. While the earliest Indian artifacts discovered so far are only 35,000 years old. Further research is expected to push back the Indian dates. The finds at Jawalapurnam in southeast India and also in Sri Lanka show striking resemblances to those from eastern and southern Africa. They include small stone tools that may have been arrow or spearheads and carefully shaped and perforated beads manufactured from fragments of ostrich eggshell. A further piece of ostrich eggshell, incised with a distinctive crisscross motif, has also been found. This would suggest that man could have crossed from Africa via only one dispersal route through Arabia. The migration route would have split at a later stage, perhaps in eastern Arabia or Iran. Archaeologists will need more evidence before they know exactly where. Prehistorians already know that Homo sapiens left Africa between 50 and 60,000 years ago. Eventually, some of these people reached Europe, bringing stone tools with them. We also know there was a similar dispersal east. These people reached Australia, moving along the coast through Arabia, Asia, and the Malay Peninsula. The evidence from Australia consists of much simpler tools. Archaeologists presumed that these were two separate dispersals by distinct people harbouring different levels of technology. But this contradicts DNA analysis, which has found such strong similarities in the genetic makeup of Eurasian people that it is difficult to see just how they could have come from two or more separate sources. For the first time, Professor Mellors' study lends credence to the theory by giving it the hard archaeological evidence that it was missing. Now the argument is no longer one just based on the DNA of these people, but on their technology and behaviour as well. Professor Mellors believes that the comparatively simple nature of the remains found in Australia can be explained by established patterns that show technology often devolves when humans are constantly on the move. What we're finding in Australia could actually be a simplified version of what you get in Africa and India, and also in Europe. The Scottish Crannog Centre by Ken Moore Loch Tay in Scotland is to feature in a new primetime television series later this month. Aimed at a wide audience, History Hunters will run on BBC One every night for a week, visiting locations throughout the UK. The programme is presented by Dan Snow, who wanted to learn more about crannogs and thought the subject would have broad appeal, especially to audiences south of the border. The production team contacted the crannog experts from the Scottish Trust for Underwater Archaeology and arranged to film both underwater and at the five-star Crannog Centre itself. Led by underwater archaeologist Dr. Nick Dixon and Miss Barry Andrian, Dan visited a number of crannog sites in Loch Tay and then dived at the early Iron Age site of Oak Bank Crannog, where he was stunned by the size of the house remains and the level of preservation of the timbers. He also helped collect a timber sample for radiocarbon dating. Having seen the real site, Dan was then keen to visit the reconstruction at the Scottish Crannog Centre by Ken Moore to try and make sense of the immense underwater jigsaw of collapsed ancient timbers. He tried out a range of hands-on ancient technology activities and even made a fire, at his first attempt as well, in front of a packed crowd. History Hunters is part of The One Show, a new magazine programme covering a range of themes in locations across the UK. Dan and the production team will return to Loch Tay on August the 21st for a live outside broadcast just before the programme airs at 7pm on BBC One. At last, after last week's aborted attempt, a hot air balloon pilot from Petworth has recreated history by flying over one of the UK's most famous landmarks, Stonehenge. Richard Ashcroft followed in the footsteps of the pioneers of aerial archaeology by flying a Virgin balloon above the unmistakable stone circle in Wiltshire on Saturday. The flight was part of a major English heritage exhibition marking the centenary of the first aerial photographs of Stonehenge, taken in 1906 by Lieutenant Philip Henry Sharp from the Royal Engineers Balloon Section. Mr. Ashford managed three short flights in the three-man balloon, lifting off from near the ancient stones so that English heritage archaeologists could take their own updated aerial shots. A federal law governing protection of American Indian graves would be amended to allow scientific study of ancient remains discovered on federal lands if the remains have not been tied to a current tribe under a new proposed bill. The bill marks the latest step in a dispute sparked by the 1996 discovery of Kennewick Man, one of the oldest and most complete skeletons ever found in North America. Indian tribes and researchers battled over the rights for the 9,300-year-old remains for 9 years before a federal court eventually sided with the scientists, allowing them to study the remains. The bill counters efforts in the Senate that would prevent ancient remains from being studied in the future. A case in Nevada was cited in which tribal leaders have filed a suit against the government to rebury the Spirit Caveman remains, believed to be more than 10,000 years old. The proposal protects the rights of present-day Native Americans to claim the remains of their ancestors when found on federal lands, and at the same time it reiterates that in cases of truly ancient human remains, such as Kennewick Man, Congress should not attempt to block scientific study. A significant archaeological find has been unearthed in the village of 2 Mile Boris in County Tipperary, Ireland. The find centres around the site of the original ancient village settlement of 2 Mile Boris, close to the present-day village at the rear of the existing Black Castle. The find is thought to be similar to what was discovered at Loch Gur in County Limerick and dates back to the Iron Age. Initial excavations of the site confirmed the presence of a large dome-type structure, which may have housed a chieftain and surrounding huts which would have housed the members of his family. An ancient water irrigation system is also thought to have been employed by the occupants of the 2,500-year-old settlement, and archaeologists have indicated that there is evidence of this on the site. Evidence of cremation area and graves have also been unearthed, and archaeologists have also confirmed the location of a Fleur de Fer, which is an ancient cooking pit. The presence of this pit, which consists of a large wood-lined pit, often with the remains of surrounding structure, such as a stone enclosure or even small buildings, and sometimes multiple hearths and additional smaller pits, confirms that the settlement of a number of people were in the area. Flochtafia are almost always found near running water or in marshy areas where a hole dug in the ground would quickly fill with water. Archaeologists unearthed a settlement in the course of their work for the Thurles Link Road as part of the N8 Cullowhill to Cashel motorway project. Work is expected to continue over the coming months to unearth more of the settlement. Just goes to show you with the next story that a rock that has been propping open doors in a household for decades is actually a 4,000-year-old Native American axe. 90-year-old Aunt Adele Colby recalls that sometime in the early 1900s, her father was attempting to plant a garden in his backyard when he came across a slightly rounded carved rock that resembled part of an Indian tool, possibly an axe. For all these years, the rock has remained in the family, but they've never really bothered to get the rock officially catalogued until now. The Native American axe is actually roughly 6 inches long and a few inches thick and weighing several pounds. It's carved around the middle section, where the Native Americans would have lashed the wooden handle onto it with a piece of rawhide. This is according to curator Samon Perez, who confirmed that the artifact was almost certainly a woodworking tool. The skeleton of a man belonging to an ancient prehistoric culture, found recently by a team of Moroccan and German archaeologists in a cave in the province of Nador, is being exhibited in an international exhibition in Bonn. From August 8th to December the 19th. This was announced in a press release from the Ministry of Culture in Germany. The skeleton belonged to a population that occupied North Africa between 22,000 and 9,000 years ago. The skeleton is part of an exhibition entitled At the Roots of Humanity. The Ministry's press release said that it is the whole of human, technical or scientific adventure of paleontology and archaeology which will be presented to the public in the Rheinisches Landeser Museum of Bonn. The skeleton was unearthed in the cave of Ifri Namar in Nador province by an archaeological team and is dated to around 14,000 BCE. The strongly built man, 1.78 metres in height, was aged between 21 and 25 and was buried in a sitting position in a small trench. The incisors of the teeth of his upper jaw have been removed following the custom of these people, probably as a passage rite on reaching adulthood. A farmer has discovered a 10,000-year-old musical instrument called a danda, or a lithophone, in the central province of Binh Tuan in Vietnam. The instrument, comprising of 8 stone slabs, was unearthed in late July. The danda was found about 2 metres beneath the surface in a 300-square-metre area that is now being excavated. The danda was found with 8 urns and an earthen tomb buried in a sandy hill beside the farmer's house. He said he was frightened away by the tombs and discarded the stone slabs near his house's well, not knowing what they were. The danda date to the Neolithic, or around 10,000 years ago. The danda's biggest slab is 95 centimetres long, 17 centimetres wide, and 2.5 kilograms in weight, and the smallest, at 52 centimetres long, 12 centimetres wide, and 4.5 kilograms in weight. The sound quality of the instrument is still quite good, according to local archaeologists. One of the world's oldest craft workshops dating back more than 3,600 years may have been discovered by Chinese archaeologists in Henan province. Covering about 1,000 square metres, the workshop used turquoise to make elaborate and ornate works of art. The workshop was found in the village on the outskirts of Yanxi city and is part of the imperial city belonging to the Xia dynasty. That's 2100 to 1600 BCE, making it China's earliest. The imperial city was discovered 2 years ago. The workshop was likely used for at least 200 years, and they also found ruins of a wall around the workshop, which was across the road from the imperial city itself, which shows that the workshop was used to serve the imperial family, judging from its location. In 2002, archaeologists discovered a 70-centimetre-long turquoise dragon formed from more than 2,000 pieces of turquoise of various shapes in the ruins of the palace, and this turquoise dragon would have more than likely have been made at this very workshop. Chinese archaeologists dubbed the artifact the Dragon of China, saying it was the earliest evidence of the Chinese fascination with dragons. Archaeologists of the Parse-Parsegade Research Centre have started transferring clay baking ovens found in the Balaji Gorge in Iran during archaeological excavations to the nearby palace of Persepolis, hoping to remove them safely off the ground. These ovens were unearthed by a joint Iranian-German archaeology team and are believed to date back to 5000 BCE. So far, five ovens have been found in the region, and they are all to be transferred to Persepolis to prevent them being destroyed and drowned after the inundation of Sivand Dam. The discovered ovens are made of clay and were buried for nearly 7,000 years, making it very hard to transfer them from one place to another. However, experts have tried to carefully wrap them with materials to ensure that no harm would threaten these ancient ovens during the transferal process. Small shovels and hand tools were used by the archaeologists to detach the oven from the ground. Balaji Gorge is an archaeological site in Fars province, which will soon be flooded once the nearby Sivand Dam is inaugurated, the date of which has not yet been determined. Archaeologists are boosting their excavations at this historic site to save as much as possible before the entire area is flooded. The summer drought has unearthed a treasure trove of finds for historians and archaeologists. Heatwave conditions, which have parched the Welsh countryside, proved ideal for aerial archaeologists. They were described as the best for almost a decade, with a host of buried sites revealed from the air. The Royal Commission of Ancient Historic Monuments of Wales made major discoveries using light aircraft to survey the Welsh landscape. They include two early Neolithic causewayed enclosures built in Wales 6,000 years ago, of which only three were known before. One was spotted in Radnorshire and the other in the Vale of Glamorgan. Other significant discoveries include a Bronze Age ritual enclosure near Aberystwyth and scores of prehistoric forts from across the entire country. It's been a hugely successful year for aerial archaeology in Wales, and we may not see the like of it for another decade. The Commission has some months of work ahead of it to work through the discoveries, notifying local archaeologists and ensuring some of the most remarkable are visited on the ground and further studied. Experts are searching a northern beauty spot in England for clues about Ice Age artists who etched pictures of animals on the cave walls some 13,000 years ago. The engravings of animals were found at Churchhole Cave in Cresswell Crags in England 3 years ago, and are evidence the Limestone Gorge near Worksop is one of the most northerly areas explored by man in the Ice Age. A team from the University of Sheffield and the British Museum started digging outside the cave in the hope that over the next 2 weeks they would be able to unearth more finds at the site. It's the first major excavation at the site since the 1920s. Churchhall was excavated very rapidly also by the Victorians in the 1870s, and very little is known about the animals and people who inhabited the cave during the Ice Age. Many of the bones and stone tools would have been originally thrown away and now lie within the Victorian spoil heap directly outside the cave's entrance. The plan is to excavate the spoil heap and find the original Ice Age settlements below, which contain bones and other artifacts from the period. This is a wonderful opportunity to highlight one of the region's major cultural sites and invite visitors to experience the process of archaeology in action. There will be an opportunity to talk to the excavation team and to view the recent finds. The nearby museum will also be running a series of activities alongside the excavation, including regular tours to Churchhole and Robin Hood Cave. In the late 1960s, archaeologists Albert Redder and Frank Watt began carefully uncovering an ancient burial site that slowly gave Bosque County in Texas a glimpse of its distant past. Decades later, the relics they found are upending long-cherished notions about North America's earliest inhabitants. Amongst other things, the prehistoric Bosque County man found buried there was estimated to be up to 10,000 years old, and endowed with somewhat European features, which challenged the old theory that early-day Americans with Mongoloid features came over the Bering Straits from Asia and from nowhere else. Watt and Redder finally uncovered the remains of an adult male and a juvenile, along with numerous mass goods, in 1970. And excavation of the area continued well into the 1990s, courtesy of many helpers, including the Central Texas Archaeological Society. Watt worked till his death in the 1980s, and Redder, now 84, continued on well afterwards. Museum Director George Larson says a grant from the Institute for Museum and Library Sciences in Washington, D.C. will be used to help fund a £250,000 exhibit at the local museum that recreates the shelter, complete with rock walls and replicas of the burial goods. The wealth of material found at the site, a bone needle, claws and teeth from badgers, coyotes and hawks, and several deliberately placed turtle shells, offers an insight into what the prehistoric man buried there may have represented to his community. Current tests on the juvenile skeleton aren't conclusive, but scientists believe the remains are those of a 10-year-old girl. Radiocarbon dating indicates the bones found at the shelter are anywhere between 9.5 to 10,000 years old. Physical anthropologists are conducting long-term research into bones and artifacts from the site. Certain facial elements have led them to believe the Horn Shelter residents may be related to the Ainu people, an ancient people who lived in the northmost part of Japan. However, they stress the exact origin of the Horn Shelter pair has yet to be determined. Traditional belief holds that early Americans came from the continent only by crossing a land bridge between North America and Asia, but this seems to suggest that people came into the Americas from multiple directions. Archaeologists have discovered a well-preserved golden dagger dated to around 3000 BCE in a Thracian tomb in the centre of Bulgaria. It's the latest find from one of many tombs believed to have formed the cradle of Thracian civilization. The dagger, made of an alloy of golden platinum, was found near the village of Dubovo. According to officials at the museum, the dagger is about 16 inches long and is sharp enough to shave with. The detail on the dagger suggests that it was used for sacrificial purposes. More than 500 pieces of delicate golden jewellery were also found in the tomb, itself discovered 2 years ago. The objects, unearthed over the past few weeks, have been perfectly preserved and will soon go on public display. Little is known about the Thracians, who are believed to have lived in what is now Bulgaria, Romania, northern Greece and Turkey until the 8th century CE, when they were assimilated by migrating Slavs. But, because they are thought not to have used writing, little material has been available for academics to study them. In recent decades, however, light has been shed on the culture through a series of finds from a group of mounds in central Bulgaria. Last year, archaeologists found more than 15,000 fragments of golden artifacts near Dubovo, which restorers reassembled to form several golden necklaces. Other finds include a golden mask and a magnificent crown wreath. Well, on that rich note, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.